Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often by the ghosts of doubt and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the land I hold today. I am drinking from the fountain where I never would abide, for I've satisfied. Well, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures or a dawning rich and gay. For I've trod the way before thee and the glory lingers near.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Deciphering prophetical chronology is crucial to accurate interpretation of Scripture. This sermon series will be a study of the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel is an Old Testament book of intense prophecy, much like the New Testament book of Revelation. The Lord revealed to Daniel through several visions of secular kingdoms that will rule the earth, and how the Jews and Messiah intertwine. These future kingdoms are known as the times of the Gentiles. The 70 weeks in Daniel is a prophetical time clock that portrays the two advents of Jesus Christ, the first being more chronologically defined, whereas the second is set apart mysteriously. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The Lord's first coming was the fulfillment of the first part of Daniel's vision. But there is another unfulfilled part of the prophecy. There is a second fulfillment that is about to unfold. The Apostle Paul also tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This event is still future. It is rapidly nearing its fulfillment. especially as we witness the horrific events on the world stage. The globalists, the Nimrod adorers, Mystery Babylon the Great, and all her abominable cohorts are waging war with God, fulfilling Psalm 2, which reads, in part, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." These earthly rulers and great merchants of the earth are in for a rude awakening. They think they are woke, but in reality they are drunk with madness, insanity, and false perceptions and ideologies. Jeremiah, who was also a holy man of God, filled with the Spirit, explains this madness. "Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." These globalists, world leaders, Marxist Democrats adore the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, her ancient founder, and they aim to restore her to her former glory in absolute rebellion to God. John the Revelator was given a similar vision in Revelation chapter 17, giving us more details to tie the loose ends of Daniel's prophecy. "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Babylon is still alive, my friends, only it is not in the Middle East, but has transported her secret agenda globally. The world is in the throes of sheer madness with this fake pandemic and now the Delta variant that has locked down the world and caused billions to fear a microbe, yet there is no fear of God and his judgment against the vile sins that permeate the earth. Christian, the Lord has given us many tools to uncover who this great whore is and the beast she rides upon. It should therefore be easily decipherable who this woman is. I'll give you a hint. She declares herself to be the Queen of Heaven, and she's headquartered in Rome. If you missed an episode of this program and would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the red subscribe button. The Fullness of Time, Part 6.
God gave man dominion of the earth for 6,000 years. Again, we see these seven here prominent in the scriptures. God gave man dominion of the earth for 6,000 years. The time chart. And this is an important time chart. You should have this memorized. It's not too difficult to have memorized. Adam appeared 400 BC, 400 years before Christ. Abraham was about 2,000 years before Christ, BC. David, Solomon, you can possibly put the temple as the center of the 1,000 years before Christ. The temple was the key thing with David and Solomon. It was 1,000 years before Christ. Christ appearing AD in that time frame there, and that, not that our calendars are perfect. And so now it's been 2,000 years, 2,000 AD, and Christ, it should be returning soon, because that 7,000-year period that 6,000, the end of the 6,000 year period should be coming to an end, to a close. So the seventh millennium will be the kingdom of Christ. And we learn that from Revelation 24. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, most of your churches just blend this in with, oh, when we die, we're in eternity, and eternity, you know, just starts. They totally ignore this 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth, if they even talk about the second coming of Christ in many of these churches. But he's going to reign on this earth, so there's a dispensation still to be fulfilled, where the sun and the moon and the stars will still be in the sky and eternity doesn't start yet. Now, applying the above scale to the 70 weeks and discover that in 70 weeks there are 490 days. 490 days. Or on the year-day scale, 490 years. So know, therefore, and understand. This is what the prophecy of Daniel is saying in 9:25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So we go figure that out. 7 + 62 = 69 weeks, or on the year-day scale, 483. If we take as the beginning of this period the Edict of Cyrus, 536 BC, and its end, the birth of Christ, 4 BC, we have the length of the period as 532 years, which is 49 years too much. So, and like I said, I don't understand, and maybe someday I'll get that clarified and understand that better, why Daniel broke up the 7 weeks from the 62 weeks, why he broke that up, and what was the significance of that little element of time breakup there. But we know from the time Cyrus. So Cyrus, who is Cyrus? Key person in the scriptures. Key person in the scriptures. Let's just go there in the scriptures. To 2 Chronicles, the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, or the beginning of Ezra. Those books should be back to back. And you read, you read almost the same thing in the end of Chronicles as you read in the beginning of Ezra. And the last two verses in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, says verse 22 and 23, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea, in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." And then you read the first four verses in Ezra, and they're almost identical. And it says, "Now in the first year," verse 1, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying. And so God is using this Gentile king to say, okay, now the 70-year period of your captivity is over. I put it on the heart of Cyrus to get you back into the land again. And I use this, I got this all marked up on my Bible here. This is proof positive that God used a Gentile king here. And God, Bible in Proverbs chapter 21, it says God, what, has control of the heart of the king. And he can turn it any which way he wants. And God grabbed the heart of King James and put it on his heart to perfect the English Bible, to clean it up and get it cleaned up. God doesn't grab the heart of Zondervan Publishing House. God doesn't grab the heart of Nelson Publishing and say, you know, we need a new translation, a new cleaned up translation. No, God works with kings. The Bible talks about the king of Assyria being God's rod against the northern tribe, Israel. So God uses these kings, these Gentile kings. Will we see Cyrus, king of Persia, in eternity? I don't know. I have no idea if he was a saved man or not. I have no idea. But he did a magnificent thing here. God stirred his heart to say, you're responsible to let those Jews loose them from their captivity and send them back to Jerusalem to build the temple and the walls. And so God moved on that king. So let me point out here, you have it in your notes, right here it will be well to note that we are not sure to the chronology of the above period. The Old Testament stops with Malachi, approximately 400 years before Christ. We must depend on secular writers such as Ptolemy for the chronology of those times. And some think that he makes the time too long, having given too much time to the kings of Persia. If it were not for the Bible, we would not know how long mankind has been on the earth. The genealogical tables giving the length of life of the patriarchs up to the Exodus and then of the judges and kings of Israel and Judah on down to the Babylonian captivity, bringing us down to 606 BC. And from there, we have to depend on secular historians, that time period, because there was the silence between Malachi and the book of Matthew in the New Testament when Christ came. Now, Matthew, turn your books to Matthew chapter 1. We have a genealogy table of the Lord Jesus Christ here. We see again the number 7, turn Genesis, Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. There's that number 7 again. 7, 14. And from David until carrying away of the into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Well, what did King David write in the Psalms? What is the lifespan of a man? The average lifespan. It's no different today than it was then. 70 years, 70, possibly 80. He writes in Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Well, what is the approximate period of time that men have and women have children? Between 20 and 50, right? 20, 40. So you're given that. We don't know exactly how long those people lived from the captivity until Christ came, but we're told there were 14 generations. So we can get a general idea that, of how many hundreds of years that period of time covered. So we know that's not some astronomical figure. We have a general idea of the time frame when that took place. So back into your notes, it says, when one studies profane history and tries to find the origin of such nations as Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, one discovers that these nations were steeped in mythology. Many of them did not see the importance of keeping any chronological records. Or if they did, the method some adopted for keeping records was based on the reign of dynasties, or according to some important event in their history, like a winning of a major war, a battle, or a volcanic eruption. This all was confusing. The fact is, they all date from Babel, or the confusion of tongues, and the distorted traditions they have of creation and the flood are proof of the distortion and inaccuracy of chronology based on secular history. Where I saw this really, when I was studying geocentricity, about the Earth being the center of the universe and the sun orbiting around the sun, the sun orbiting around the Earth, some of the books I was studying was pointing out that Joshua's long day is seen in hieroglyphics in different parts of the world. And where Israel had a long day in the Middle East, they had a long day. Somewhere there had to be a long night, right? In the Medo-Persian Empire, not the Medo-Persian, in the Aztecs, in the Mayans, There's those Indian tribes in those areas, there is evidence in their historical hieroglyphic records that there was great fear that the sun wasn't going to come back up, and they did sacrifices because the sun wasn't coming up. In Isaiah, where Isaiah and Joshua, excuse me, Hezekiah and Isaiah, where the sun went back 10 degrees, there's evidence that in some parts of the world, in historical records, that they have symbols of the sun coming up and then going back down again, below the horizon. So there's historical records in the secular archives, mostly as hieroglyphics, around the world of these natural phenomenons and these miraculous events taking place. And these countries have records in India of Noah and the flood, and of Babel. They have those kind of records in their hieroglyphics, as man archaeologists uncover these things and start to try to decipher what they see in these records. They see distorted traditions of these events that we read in the scriptures. But they didn't keep a calendar. They didn't have a way of keeping calendar. Hey, I'm just 61, but I lose track of days. Don't you lose track of days? I mean, what day is it in this week? Friday, I said, it feels like Saturday. Tomorrow, church? I think I said it several times. Tomorrow, we got to go to church. I thought it was Saturday. On Friday, I thought it was Saturday. So if we can lose track of time that easily, can you imagine men without a calendar, how and any kind of organized system of keeping track of dates, how the time can be lost and dates can be very confusing. So what degree or commandment does Daniel 9:25 refer to? What decree, really it's decree, what decree or commandment does Daniel 9:25 refer to? We talked about Cyrus's decree there. We read that in Ezra and the end of 2 Chronicles. There's Darius had a decree. We see that in Ezra chapter 6. Artaxerxes had a decree. He was one of the kings, and Artaxerxes really was a sort of like the word Caesar. There are many Caesars. Different men were Caesars. Different men are kings.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.